is the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report, live from Wild Eggs of Lexington. On today's menu, UK football talk with a voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach, plus former Kentucky assistant coach and NFL executive Steve Ortmeier. Interact with the show now by tweeting at Leach Report or email leachreport at gmail.com. Call us at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into our show for this Monday. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. It's a beautiful morning with sunny skies, and it's chilly, but hey, it's November as we are in Thanksgiving week. I think weather's going to get worse later in the week, but for today, very nice. Be nice to have a day like this for Saturday when Kentucky and U of L play at noon out at Kroger Field. Lots to talk about today after a big win over UT Martin as the Wildcats get bowl eligible for the fourth year in a row. Mark Stoops, Rich Brooks, and Bear Bryant, the only coaches to lead Kentucky to four bowl games. We'll talk about the game with Coach Ortmeier. We'll mix in some sound bites from post-game. We'll also hear from Pat Bradley, and he was on the SEC Network call of the game last night where Kentucky defeated Lamar. So we'll get a little basketball take as well from Pat. So that's our lineup for today, as we are on location here at Wild Eggs, and we'll get right to the Wildcat news of the day. That's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. We'll start with the basketball game since it was most recent. Kentucky defeats Lamar 81-56 last night. Tyrese Maxey had 21 to lead Kentucky. He hit four threes in a 20-0 run that broke the game open after Lamar had battled back to tie it at 19. Cal was talking after the game about how Tyrese is still not completely dialed in on where they need him to be on the floor at times. I was listening to him saying that and understanding it, but also just thinking, imagine how good he's going to be when he really figures this all out. And we were talking about this story with Kenny Payne on the post game last night. John Wall was exceptional early, as Tyrese has been. And then you remember he went through a period there in early January where at one point he expressed frustration that he didn't know what Cal wanted. And there's probably a little of that going through Tyrese's mind right now, and it'll continue for a little while. But it'll come, and as it did for John, and he is just an exceptional talent. 10 threes was a season high for Kentucky. Nick Richards had his third double-double of the season, 10 and 13, and he also blocked seven shots, so he nearly had a triple-double. And the big thing about Nick, not that he played well against a team that you're expected to beat, but is that he is doing this game in and game out. It started with an outstanding performance defensively in particular against Michigan State, and really didn't play his best against Evansville, but wasn't. You still got something out of him on the defensive end, but didn't give him much offensively. But he was just flying around last night, going after rebounds, blocking shots. I just love the aggressiveness. And a guy 7 feet tall with a 7'5 wingspan, if he is that playing with that kind of motor, Kentucky's got something special then. Calipari, we talked about in the pregame with him. It seemed to me as I was watching his shoot around, things he was saying to guys, it seemed like that he was defining their roles earlier than he typically does. I always said this, that what he does is let guys kind of test the waters themselves. And then at some point a little later on, somewhere in December usually, he's kind of starts to make their role more narrow, more focused to like, okay, we've tried it your way. Here's the way we need you to play, and we've have a nice body of evidence to look at. Here, he's doing that much earlier, and he said on the pregame that he felt that this team needed it, and so we'll see that play out here in the coming weeks. On to football. 50-7 was the final over UT Martin with a school record 462 rushing yards, a school record that had stood since 1951. Tyler Markray with a really nice touchdown run from, I think it was 45 yards out, for Kentucky to break the record on that run. So that was a really cool moment for him, not just to get his first touchdown, but to help Kentucky break a long-time school record on the play on which he scored. So Kentucky is bowl eligible now and will be headed to a fourth consecutive bowl game. A lot of the projections seem to be focused on either the Belk or the Liberty Bowl, a couple for the Music City. Still a lot of things to be determined as far as what the SEC pecking order is going to look at with games coming up this weekend and then on championship weekend that could affect things. But Wildcats just certainly are playing outstanding football right now, heading into the season finale against Louisville that we'll talk about here with Coach Ort in just a bit. Of course, Mark Stoops, the story came out Saturday from a Florida State site about Florida State officials having a meeting, it said, with Coach Stoops. He didn't talk about any of the specifics. I'm wondering if it was maybe with an agent, but whatever. Anyway, he did address the story and said that he had told the recruits that he was staying at Kentucky. So with the great recruiting class that they are putting together, to get that off the table was certainly noteworthy. Men's soccer, their season comes to an end with a 3-0 loss to powerhouse Indiana up in Bloomington. College basketball yesterday, Florida. Gets a nice win. They had taken a couple of L's already, and they beat Xavier, the number 18 team in the country, 70-65 on the college basketball scene. I think otherwise there were a few SEC teams in action, but they all won as expected. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're out at Wild Eggs in Hamburg for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show, and if you're out doing Black Friday shopping later this week, either fuel up before the shopping or take your recovery here at Wild Eggs after the shopping. It's a great place to get a great breakfast. Just had a fantastic Wild Eggs omelet. Recommend those or whatever is the favorite on the menu for you. You can get them at Wild Eggs here in Hamburg and Palomar. We'll be right back with Coach Ortmeier.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We have guests on the phone. They come to us via the Kentucky Hemp Works hotline, but don't think we'll have that today. We're going to be all here on location, and Coach Ortmeier is with us, as always, to talk about another very impressive performance by Kentucky. When you face off against an FCS team, a few years ago, Eastern took Kentucky to overtime, so they can throw a scare into you from time to time. But the way it's supposed to work is the SEC team is supposed to be dominant in the trenches, yeah. And that was certainly the case Saturday.
That is the way it's supposed to work, and they had the kind of practice week that leads to that. And The fact that this came at the end of the year instead of the start of the year with an FCS team, I think probably worked to their benefit. They kept their mind in the game. They were intense on getting the bowl eligibility, and it just worked out perfectly.
And we noticed Dick Gabriel's down on the field for us, and when they came out for the coin toss, the team came out of the locker room, it just seemed like there was a great deal of energy looking at body language. And we asked, got Gabe to see if could confirm that from down on the field. So that speaks to what you said as far as the week of practice. You know, with Lynn Bowden, we'll start there. It's hard to come up with good adjectives. I mean, what Kentucky's doing with converting a wide receiver to play quarterback is challenging. And in this day and time in college football in a league like this, and to be able to do what they're doing, the numbers they're putting up, a school record for rushing yards, albeit, I understand, against an FCS opponent, but the previous games weren't. They had over 300 yards rushing for 3 weeks in a row, I think for the first time in a long time, if not ever, at UK. It speaks to a unique talent at the quarterback position and a tremendous offensive line.
Boy, it does, and it speaks to a philosophy of Eddie Grant's. I mean, you got to leave Grant in this equation. Also, the thing that just continues to amaze me, and the thing that I think will take it become very evident or take its toll, if you want to call it that, when we play Louisville, I think the line of scrimmage will be a major factor in this game. I think the fact that this is an SEC offensive line, and in fact, as good as there is in the country, quite frankly, will be a major factor. And the fact that we have four backs that all want to be fed.
Yeah.
it's amazing, and it's an amazing kickoff into the next year.
It's something that probably is not getting, and this actually stretches back into next season, probably didn't get enough attention for what I think Stoops and his staff have built here in terms of a culture and what, you know, maybe as they have the success is sustained, that's a different animal than trying to build from you know, adversity and doubts. And if they get to a point where the expectations are there and they're perceived differently, maybe this will be an even greater challenge. But I think it's impressive. You look back to the bowl game, for instance. Josh Allen is going to be a first-round draft pick, high first-round draft pick, never even considered not playing in the bowl game, which spoke to me to how he felt about his teammates and his coaches, and he wanted to be a part of that bowl game. And that carries over into now what you're doing. You do have a lot of running backs that want to be fed, and none of them are ever going to get enough carries to satisfy them, and that's the way you want it. But still, nobody pouts. The wide receivers are pouting. They're doing a great job of blocking, which is why they're getting all those runs down the field. It's amazing the unselfishness, I guess, that
it
we're
is.
Seeing.
There are some subtle things at work here. I think this group got bred by Benny. They understood what Benny was all about. They understood they'd get their shot. They understood that when you do get your shot, you better take advantage of it. And Rose has had this his entire career here. So it wouldn't surprise me if Rose kind of went off in this next game.
Kentucky's Lynn Bowden set a school record for most rushing yards, 100-yard rushing games by a quarterback. Five, breaking a tie with Mike Fanuzzi from back in the 70s. He went over 1,000 yards rushing for his career. He joins Randall Cobb as the only players to go into four figures in rushing, receiving, and return yards. He'll likely go over 1,000 yards rushing this season, this week. And if he gets 100 again, if he's able to do that, that would be six in seven games since moving into the quarterback position. If he were to do it in a bowl game, obviously 7 and 8, the only one where he would have missed would have been by a single yard.
By a yard.
He could finish up 1 yard short of eight consecutive 100-yard rushing games, which, if that happened, would be the school record for consecutive 100-yard rushing games and tie Sonny Collins for the most in a season.
Man.
So you just keep throwing out these numbers, and it is amazing what he has done.
It is amazing. It is amazing because opponents know it's happening.
Yes.
They know it's coming, so they have just not been able to stop it. And that's a real tribute to Bowden. It's a bit of a tribute to Grand, and it just continues on. It really does.
We'll talk, get into the matchup with Louisville here in just a bit. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg with Coach Ortmeier. It's their Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report, and we'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back into the Leach Report. After the game, among those that were talking to the media was offensive coordinator Eddie Grand. And understand, when we play this, he's talking about his boss. You know, he's saying good things about the boss. You're always going to say good things about the boss, right? But just, this is a guy who's coached in this league for a long time, and I think you can hear the sincerity in his voice when he talks about some of the things we were just talking about with the job that Kentucky's done.
He probably doesn't get enough credit. I'm talking from outside sources. If you talk to people in our profession, they think Mark Stoops should be governor.
Sawyer's going
to
be
here. Because, number one, they understand this league. And number two, what he's done and how he's built it, and he stayed the course. And, he did a remarkable job last year. But what he's done this year, you take away two plays, and he should be governor. But it didn't happen. But you still, he doesn't get enough credit. I'm going to tell you something. It's big time. And I've been in this league a long time. It is hard. It's hard, and we're building, and we got a great class coming. We got a lot of good stuff ahead of us, I believe.
And I think a lot of people share that belief with what's coming in recruiting, and that's the thing. It's what they've built gradually through their recruiting, Coach Ortmeier, with, and you see it in the offensive and defensive lines. That's always – Kentucky could find the Tim Couch, the Craig Yeast, the Mo Williams, those recruits who could be among the best in the league as an individual, but they couldn't get the numbers of offensive and defensive linemen to stack up against the people that you play in this league, but now they have them. I'm sorry, you'll turn your mic up.
Tremendously good job of he's done a tremendously good job of wanting to set an example and wanting to set a standard for this team. He has been for the last 4 or 5 years adamant that we would win the line of scrimmage, and this is a football team now that wins the line of scrimmage as much as anybody in the country.
And you think that's what's going to be the difference Saturday against Louisville?
I do. I think what LeBlanc has done and what Sharman has done is absolutely tremendous and has set a standard for this team.
Louisville is a team that's putting up, their new coach has done an outstanding job. They're putting up a lot of points, giving up a lot of points. I think they average 35 a game. They're allowing 33 per game. The best way to slow down a potent offense, though, is to keep the ball away from them.
That's exactly right, and they better come to play this weekend. They better come to tackle because they're going to get it thrown at them on every play.
You make a good point there because you see this with the Kentucky running backs, and it's probably – not surprisingly, because of the competition at the position, but guys are really finishing runs very well. They're making it very unpleasant to try to tackle Chris Rodriguez or Smoke or Rose.
Rodriguez is a real finisher, and as is Bowden. And you better come to play when you play Kentucky because you're going to get run on, and they're going to run on you until you stop it.
I know people have wondered, would Bowden, as he hurt his NFL stock by doing this? You look at guys that have played for, like Julian Edelman or Antoine Randall L. I think he's probably enhanced his NFL stock because they already knew he could catch the ball.
I do, too, because I believe there's a newfound belief in the NFL promoted by Jackson at Baltimore.
Yeah, and, if you get a guy like Bowden, there's a guy that, he can't throw it as well as Lamar, so you're not going to leave him at quarterback, but it's a way you can utilize him in, short yardage or goal line situations. Plus, he can catch the ball, and you're seeing how tough he is and how durable he is.
Yeah, well, you saw it with both the Packers and the Cowboys. That they utilized Randall in throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And it helps to do – the more things you can do, the more value you have.
Absolutely right. And as Mark Stoops said after the game, if he doesn't, Bowden, win the Paul Hornung Award, they should just stop giving it. I understand he's not winning the fan voting. That it seems to be clear. But there are 17 other votes that will really decide who wins that award. And he's not the only worthy candidate. But given the circumstances and what he's accomplished, it's hard to make the case that anybody is more deserving than he is. And that would be two national award winners in back-to-back years, and they might get two of them this year with Max Duffy and the Ray Guy Award.
That's right.
We are halfway home on this Shuffling Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report. We'll talk a little basketball when we come back and hear from the SEC analyst on the TV call last night, Pat Bradley, here on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
We're back on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback show. We're going to detour from football for a moment, talk a little more Kentucky basketball. Cats picked up two convincing wins in the past three nights with the victory over Mount St. Mary's on Friday and Lamar last night. Pat Bradley, the former Arkansas sharpshooter, worked the game last night on the SEC Network, and afterward, our Chris LeBar caught up to him.
Pat, Cats were very sharp today. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought from a defensive standpoint, they communicated well, they rotated well, they helped each other really well, and sometimes teams will overhelp, but they trusted each other to contain the ball handler, which was impressive. From that, they were able to get some easier buckets, transition buckets, and then, I mean, they shot the ball better than we've seen all year. A lot of that has to do with confidence, and you can see they're shooting the ball more confident now. The other thing is they're ready to shoot. Guys are catching and shooting. Feet are ready. Hands are ready. Have it up. So good passes lead to made shots. You saw that. And they were just shooting a lot more confidently.
In what way have they grown the most since the Evansville and Utah Valley games?
I think from a defensive standpoint, they're containing the basketball because at Evansville and in some of those other games, they allow dribble penetration. Dribble penetration will absolutely annihilate your defense because now your big men are on their heels. You're giving up penetration and kicks for threes, open threes. So right there is important. I thought their pick and roll defense, they're starting to get it. See, you can hear it from a coach, but sometimes you don't do it until you trust that it's going to work. And now they're like, oh, coach, I see now. I screwed it up. We lost. Now I'm going to do how you taught me and are teaching me. In the result you saw tonight.
Cats with a full complement of players. Now, what role does that play in this?
Well, listen, Cat was able to get nine guys good minutes tonight. And I know fans, right, they want to watch top 25 matchups every night. But every team needs to be able to flourish and build. And these are building legs. These are the building blocks because you can't miss any steps when you're trying to build a championship team. A young team, right? I mean, he's not getting... It'd be one thing if you're getting back a veteran core where you've already gone through the little things. He's going to do that every day. So it's so important, like, for what we saw tonight. Connected, they're starting to believe and trust what the coaches are telling them actually works. Like, you know what I mean? Normally, you're like, I want to do it my way, coach. You know what? Your way's going to get us beat. Do it my way, all right? And you can see that tonight.
Are they on pace, on par to previous teams?
Well, it's tough to compare because they are still in that the infant stages. You know, they're not a full-grown adult yet, which they will be in April. But what I love is nine guys, right? I mean, we've seen in the past where, you know, there may be six, seven guys that Cal has got. But if you keep getting nine guys working, guys coming off the bench and giving you an offensive punch, I'm very high on this team. Like, I know being a number one team that early on, I mean, who the heck knows a number one team? I mean, it changes week by week, really. But come March and April, there's no question in my mind that if they aren't the favorite to win it all, they're going to be one of the few.
Pat Bradley from the SEC Network with some really nice things to say about the Cats after the win last night over Lamar. Wish we could get it to you without the soundtrack, but it's what it is. So we get the good content from Pat Bradley last night as to Kentucky now gets a few days of a break from games. They'll be certainly practicing regularly, but they've got UAB on Friday, Fairleigh Dickinson after that, and then the water starts to get deeper with Georgia Tech, but basically about a game a week now for the next month or so. And a lot of practice time for John Calipari to start polishing things. Coming up on 19 away from the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report Radio Network. When guests join us on the phone, it's via the Kentucky Hemp Works Hotline. No phone guests today. Coach Ortmeyer's on location with me. We'll get back to our Kentucky football conversation in just a moment. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
We are back on the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback edition of the Leach Report. Coach Steve Ortmeyer here with us. We're on location at Wild Eggs in Hamburg for the show today. We alternate between here and Hamburg for these Monday Morning Quarterback shows. It'll be two Mondays from now when Kentucky finds out its bowl destination, I think, or two Sundays from yesterday, because the all the championship games have to play out before everything is decided. So most of the speculation is on the Belk and the Liberty Bowl at this point as one of the two likely destinations for Kentucky. Benny Snell, big day yesterday, 98 yards rushing, made his first start for the Steelers.
Big day, and he could have had more than he had. He kind of gave him a little bit yesterday, which he generally doesn't do. But I've said all along that whether Benny started as the third back or the fourth back or whatever he started as the Steelers this year, you better not let him have the job, because once he gets it, he's going to take it.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. He is a guy that I've always said, you know, I knew he wouldn't test well. He's not exceptionally fast. He's just a guy that once you've got him on your team, you realize that you're very thankful you do. Randall Cobb was another one like that, although he was faster.
Once you got Benny on the team, you have to realize you're going to pick up 3 or 4 yards after contact.
Yeah, he rarely goes backwards. I think in high school, I think the stat was, I don't think he ever had a negative rushing play.
Is that right?
In his high school career up in Westerville, Ohio. But again, because, and it's the same way with Randall. People would tell me when Randall was here, I wish he was just a couple inches taller. I said, no, you don't, because if he was, he'd be at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's that guy who's just a little bit shorter or a little bit slower that Kentucky is able to find some of those guys if they're doing the job right, and you guys were, the staff is. Now, I think what's happening now is once you build something, then
you get guys.
You don't have to find as many of the development guys.
Right, right.
Overlooked guys.
Yeah, that's right. You get more guys, and you certainly get the interest coming your way.
Let's talk about one of the developmental guys, and that's Calvin Taylor. I remember when he was here initially, first thought I looked at there, I thought Ed Too Tall Jones, you know, just in terms of 6'9". But he just was very gangly, like a young thoroughbred. And I thought, well, you know, I wonder if they can, you know, maybe it could be a situational player for them on a pass rush at some point, by the time he's a senior.
He's a real leader on this team now.
Last year, he developed into a very solid player, and now he has put himself in the position. He's tied for the lead in sacks in the toughest conference in the country, and I think he's a strong first-team All-SEC candidate in the defensive line, would have to be. 7.5 sacks now, and typically in a 3-4, it's the linebackers, right, who are getting most of the sacks, those edge guys.
Right, but this guy has been very active. He's played himself into an NFL contract, no question about it, and he certainly has the size to do it.
Let's listen to a little bit of Calvin Taylor in the postgame talking about the growth of this Kentucky defense over the course of the season under first-year coordinator Brad White.
I just think every day we just come in with a mentality that we can work, that we always got something that we can improve on. So we kind of just really been harping on the attention to detail. So I think that's really been paying off of us.
Calvin Taylor and Brad White has done an outstanding job in his first year. It's always, you know, a question when you move into the position of calling the shots on an offense or a defense, and it's another question mark when you go from that role to being the head coach. So those are all significant moves, and he has handled this one superbly.
He's handled it very well, and I hope that we have a full complement going into the Louisville game because, as I said earlier, I think this game's going to be won on the line of scrimmage. I think our defensive line is as much a factor in that occurring as anything. I mean, offensively, it's a given. These guys come off the ball, they're gonna really help these running backs. But defensively, man, this is an impossible defense to run against. And if you want to throw the ball, it's pretty good too.
Only 6 touchdown passes that they've given up, which is I think, if not leading the nation, very close to the fewest. And a lot of the credit goes to what's going on up front for the guys in the secondary.
Yes, it does. We have obviously a very inexperienced and very young secondary, but they're getting the pass rush, and it's been a big factor for us.
The 2 touchdowns Tennessee threw for were obviously the key to the Vols getting that win, but you're talking about one, if not both, guys that will be playing in the NFL, I would think, and that was... Those were jump balls. And
both seniors.
Yes, exactly.
Both 50-50 balls.
And the second one was just initially was called out of bounds and correctly ruled a touchdown on review, but they were that close to maybe keeping them out of the end zone on that drive. So the way that this defense has developed, and most of the guys are going to be back next season, plus the return of Devontae Robinson,
yeah.
Kentucky should be in the top half of the league defensively.
Certainly should be. Certainly should be going into the year. This ought to be projected as fine a defense as there is in the country.
Back to Calvin Taylor. I was talking to Brad White on Friday about him, and he used the analogy of a boxer because he said Calvin has 35-inch arms, and he said his strength is that reach. Mm-hmm. He said, now sometimes if he allows he again used the boxing analogy, if he allows the guy to get into his body, that's where he can be neutralized. And he said for Calvin, that's when he stands straight up and he doesn't play low, and then a guy can get into his body and neutralize those long arms. But if he stays low and then gets those strong, long arms out, that's why he's going to be an attractive guy to the NFL.
He's going to be attractive to the NFL in that respect. And once he gets moving towards the quarterback, he tends to keep moving.
Louisville offensively has been effective both running it and throwing it. How much have you watched much of the Cardinals lately?
I've watched them three times. I just don't think they tackle well. I really don't. I think they're going to have trouble with our backs. You obviously, when you play Louisville, you've got to contain Cunningham. You have to make sure that you have a guy on Cunningham. You can't let Cunningham beat you.
Yeah, he had actually one of the few highlight plays for Louisville in the Kentucky win last year was provided on a long run by Cunningham. And, Kentucky hasn't faced that kind of challenge in recent weeks.
And, no, we haven't.
It was a little problematic early in the year, so that's going to be a new dimension to have to worry about. It's going to be important for Kentucky to finish drives because, given Louisville's defensive numbers, I expect Kentucky to be able to move the ball successfully. But with a team that is this potent offensively, you can't count on having a shot to win it 20-17 like the Tennessee game.
No.
So it's important to get points out of drives, and that's where the most maddening thing, I'm sure, for Coach Stoops is what has happened with the placement kickers, field goal / PAT.
Yeah. These backs have to finish drives. This offensive line has to finish drives. They have to understand that's where this team is, and they have to make it stick.
Because really, at this point, if you're Stoops, you're hesitant to try field goals, I would think.
I would be.
In a pinch, if it's 4th and 12, maybe you do. But
yeah.
If it's 4th and a deep, not too big of a number, you're probably going to lean toward going for it.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what puts it on this offensive line to finish.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Max Duffy from the standpoint of Coach Ortmeier and his special teams background. And we'll get to that when we come right back. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. It's our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show here on the Leach Report. Final segment of the Leach Report. Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of this show. And we're at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. I guess, like teams, restaurants have tendencies. The Hamburg location tends to fill up later. It's almost every table's full now. The Palomar location tends to fill up earlier. So we always invite you to come out and join us. We'll be at Palomar next week. Bring your phone along. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app here at Wild Eggs. And come out and join us while we're on the air. Coach Ortmeier is here. Want to talk a little bit about Max Duffy. He is up for the Ray Guy Award. He was number Kentucky was number one in the nation in net punting yards, which is the length of the punt minus the return yardage, and that took a hit with that one long return that UT Martin was able to get on Saturday. But it was finished by a play the fans loved, which was Duffy seemingly angry about that net punting stat. Just was like one of the best defensive players. Just grabbed him and threw him to the ground.
Yeah, that was good, but that's what happens when you have a guy like Ray Guy or a guy like Duffy. The coverage team gets comfortable. They get comfortable with the results, And all of a sudden, the opponent hits you with one like this.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it.
Because you were with the Raiders when Ray Guy was there.
Yeah.
The guy for whom the award is named. And, boy, he just, he revolutionized the position, didn't he?
He did. And he revolutionized the way to practice, too. But Duffy is in that mold. He certainly is in that mold. He certainly has a chance to lead the country this year. I hope he has a great game against Louisville. We need him against Louisville. And
we've seen the NFL move in the direction of what colleges do with a guy like Lamar Jackson at quarterback, with at least in Baltimore. Do you think that they will do that with their punting game at some point?
They could. With the advent of the Australian.
Yeah, because you don't see anybody doing that in the NFL.
Yeah.
Everybody's punting straight away.
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't want to utilize Duffy in this pass, because the great thing about Duffy is he can roll to his right and he can kick it to the left side of the field, which most people can't do.
Yeah, he did it the other day.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, the return man just stomped his feet, because when that happened, he there was nothing he could do.
Yeah.
And as you have told us before, when you do it, it's kicking only when you kick right to left, correct?
That ball will always go
straight down the sideline curve back into the field.
Yes, if you turn the ball over, if you're able to keep the spiral tight, and you kick it left, when it hits, it will go straight to the end zone
Slightly turn in, but it won't go out of bounds.
It won't go out of bounds.
And it's did it again the other day. He landed outside the numbers, and it was like a. You know, a creature of some sort, running a straight path.
He knows how he's done that, and Duffy, strangely enough, can kick left footed too.
Oh, but, I know.
He's got it all.
He can also. Dean Hood was talking about this at one point. You could punt past the ball behind the line of scrimmage. In other words, he could with on the snap, he could kick a little pooch type kick out to a receiver, and as long as that receiver is behind the line of scrimmage, it's the equivalent of a pass.
Yeah.
And Duffy claims he can do it, so I don't know if we'll see that at some point. I don't know if we've ever spent this much time talking about a punter, but he is a unique talent.
Well, he is a unique talent, and hopefully they've got some stuff in the bag. I don't know whether they'll have that, but hopefully they'll have some stuff in the bag for Louisville. I heard Coach Grand talking about they worked on a number of things last week, and he didn't call them in the game. So you know he's got some things in his pocket.
Yeah, that was a luxury of the game going as it did.
Yes.
They could work on things and not have to use them all, because they're putting in new wrinkles every week because of Bowden.
Yep.
And that'll be something for Louisville to think about. It's got to be maddening to prepare for Kentucky right now. Even you think all they're doing is running the football, but there's much more to it.
Yeah, one of these teams is gonna flat just consider Bowden the quarterback. They're not going to work enough on Sawyer, and all of a sudden this is going to hit them.
All right, we're done for today. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow, and then back on location at Palomar for this Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show with Coach Ortmeier. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report Radio Network. Miss the show? Catch the podcast at TomLeachKY.com or on the iHeartRadio app.
The following is an advertisement.
The lawyers of Vaughn Pettit Legal Group have over 60 years' experience helping people all over Kentucky solve their legal problems. We are a full-service, local law firm full of highly intelligent, hardworking people. From helping you start a business to employment law to estate and tax planning and many things in between, the lawyers of Vaughn Pettit Legal Group can help you solve your legal issues quickly and effectively. Located in Pee Wee Valley, you can reach us at 502-